I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here with you, ready to rock and roll on this Tuesday. We spent a lot of time there in the first hour talking college basketball. That's because we had Paul Mills in with us, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, to chat about the Shocker offseason. Tommy, let's continue the conversation about the Royals. We got into this briefly right off the top of the show. So last night, I didn't realize this until this last commercial break or something. I thought I was the only one. So in that, you know, in that late in the game, in that eighth inning, when the Royals were up, there was a message that just said technical difficulty. And then we came back and they were up 2-0. And I'm like, well, what happened in the Bobby Witt Jr. at bat, which is where it left off sort of. And then all of a sudden, then we got a replay and I was like, oh, Vinny hit a home run. Well, that was unfortunate timing that I missed that, because you sit here and you watch for, you know, 2 hours waiting for something to happen. And then I realized, I think it was across the board. So that kind of sucks. For everybody.
Yeah, can I just say, I mean, this is nothing against the broadcasters. I think they're fine. I mean, I think Rex Hudler's a lot of fun, and I like Ryan LaFever and the entire crew there. But the production quality just, I mean, come on. Like, it's not good. It's not consistently, it's not, like, there are minor league broadcasts that I feel like are better than the Royals' major league TV broadcast. And that's been that way for a long time. Like, you've got technical issues, and there have been audio issues in the past. And, like, I get it. Like, we work in broadcasting, and it's hard to be perfect. It's hard to, like, not have glitches here and there and not have things. We've had glitches on this show. Like, it happens periodically. But, man, come on. Like, things like that, especially when, like, we're desperately waiting for the Royals to score runs. And then the minute that they do, the broadcast goes down. That's tough. Like, that's rough to happen.
Yeah, it's 100% has nothing to do with the Royals' cruise.
No, no, no.
It has
not
everything
at all
to do with Bally Sports and now right. FanDuel. Like, they're not – baseball has a problem in general. There just isn't any reason anymore that – it is so difficult to find games when there are 162 of them. Like, I get logged out of that app all the time. I'm like, what? Like, it should not take me 15 minutes to get the game turned off.
Did you know, I don't know if you have experienced this, but, like, you know, you and I watch these games on the FanDuel Sports app because, again, we're blacked out in Wichita, which is ridiculous, but it is what it is. So we're watching it on the app. If you watch the pregame show, it doesn't roll right into the actual broadcast. You have to stop the pregame, and then you have to, like, click again to watch the actual game. It's, like, it's ridiculous.
They couldn't make it more difficult to watch the product, and it's annoying. And I know it's, like, I get it. Baseball has, they don't have like one partner in all of this. I understand that, and I understand why, and I understand the regional component of it is important to what it is that they've had to do over the years. But at some point, figure it out.
We had a game a couple of weeks ago where I believe it was Ryan Lefever and Rex Hudler, I think it was those two guys, did like two or three innings on their cell phone. Like, you had the video, but the audio portion, they literally called in on their phone and they were broadcasting the game. Like, what are we doing here, fellas?
Yeah, it's something. But it's going to be this year, right? We're not getting a change this year, but I do think changes are coming. I wonder if teams could handle this stuff themselves and not outsource it. I think you've said, like, the Rangers are doing that this year. It's the Rangers Sports Network. I don't know. Like, you'd have more of a depth of knowledge on, like, how difficult that would be to then have to also get that stuff sold. And, like, there's a lot that goes into it. I understand that. But Major League Baseball, make your product easier to find. Just if you want to do the MLB app, which is a great app, don't black it out. Maybe that's a place to start. But even then, somebody still has to broadcast the game. It's not like Major League Baseball doing the broadcast. So I don't know what the ultimate solution is, but baseball should make it a little easier to find baseball. All that aside, Vinny Pasquantino gets the big hit. I'm glad that it was him that got it. I'm very glad, honestly, that it was him that got it, because they need him to find the form he found. I don't remember. Maybe you do, Tommy. How long did his slump to start the season last a year ago? I don't think it was this long. And it totally changed the team when he found his groove last year. I really, really hope that something like that can happen again, because it will change the dynamic of this team completely. It will. And now, a part of that last year was that Salvi was great, right? Like, he was fine. He's not either. But Vinny, every time, like, he's shown, like, just a couple of times this year, like, okay, he's like, he's back. And then it's not. And then it is. And, you know, last year, once he hit that stride, he never looked back until he got hurt. But they were they became one of the better offensive teams in baseball, most efficient anyway. And his turnaround was pretty much the catalyst directly of that happening. Maybe it can happen again, just taking longer this time. And it was good to see last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, he had, he was able to get his average all the way up to above 260 last year when everything was said and done. You know, of course, he had, had that injury last year that kept him out for the, you know, ending part of the regular season. But I mean, I do know that he basically was able to get that average, get that entire slash line up. I honestly don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. I'd have to, you know, go back and look up when he was able to finally turn things around. I know it took a while, like, to get out of the gate last year. I don't remember exactly when that was.
Yeah, I don't think it took till May 20th, because then he hit a stride where he was like one of the top RBI guys before his injury. And I just don't know that there would have been enough time for that, after that point. So either way, that would be, honestly, like, of all the things that could impact this offense in a positive way, that's probably the most impactful thing that could happen before, like, a CAGS call-up, which at earliest probably won't happen until late next month. And that's a pipe dream. That's even that's probably unlikely. So we'll watch him. I mean, you know, there was some emotion in that swing last night. I don't know if you've seen the clip of it yet, but like, that felt like the weight off your shoulders kind of a swing. So maybe that can be it for the team. Didn't matter. Chris Bubich was incredible. The bullpen was good enough. I don't want to say it was incredible, but it was good enough. They, you know, Schreiber did a really nice job of bailing out Daniel Lynch a little bit. Estevez was good. He did have one hit allowed, which is kind of his thing, but he got the job done. And now they can, I honestly, and I don't know if we said this yesterday, but I certainly thought it. It was kind of important to me that they got that win with Bubich, because the pitching that they'll face in this series is brutal. And we still don't know, I don't think, what's going to happen on Wednesday. But at least now, you know, you've got at least a game in the series. Now you can relax a little bit. Had they lost that one last night in a game where Bubic pitched like that, I think it would have felt like a tall mountain to climb with the starting pitching that they're going to face in this series.
Yeah, I mean, they get Hayden Birdsong tonight against Michael Lorenzen. And Lorenzen has been solid this entire season so far. You know, his ERA is under 4, which is good. He's been, you know, probably exceeding expectations as your number 5 starter in the rotation. You know, he's not been elite like Bubic has been, but he's been good. And so I think that you've got a good opportunity here to take the first two games of the series. I don't think that, you know, traditionally you look at your number 5 starter and you're like, okay, well, this might be, you know, a tough ask, a difficult, you know, scenario for them to get a victory. But I do think that Lorenzen has exceeded those expectations. And I think they've got a good chance in tonight's game if they can give him some run support. And then, yeah, tomorrow, the finale, the afternoon game in San Francisco, we still don't know who's going to start that game for the Royals. I would venture to guess it's probably going to be a bullpen game. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. And the fact that Daniel Lynch pitched an inning yesterday, I don't think he's going to be the starter tomorrow. So I don't exactly know. And I've got kind of a couple guesses on what I think they'll do in tomorrow's finale, but they've not announced anything yet.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not tremendous.
It'll be a challenge. I mean, Logan Webb is on the bump, and he's been really good this
year. That's what I meant. So that's the thing for me. Like, Bubic, yeah, you get through that, and then it's okay. Like, you know you're going to have a tough pitching matchup. And then it was that, yeah, you have to go up against Logan Webb with a who knows what's going to happen. That's why it felt like last night was pretty important to get a win. They'll play again late tonight. You'll hear it on KFH. Pregame coverage starts at 8:30. No issues getting Shockers and Royals in because Shockers open the AAC tournament in the afternoon. I think that pregame coverage, I believe, begins at 2:45. Mike Kennedy on the call as the Shockers are out in Florida taking on the conference pitcher of the year for Charlotte. That'll be a challenge. I'll tell you this. It's as excited about Wichita State baseball as I've been in 2 months because they're heating up and it's the conference tournament. And why not, right? They showed us a year ago they can do it.
Yeah, you got to go for broke right now. Like, you're playing with house money. You've under-delivered this regular season. Just let it ride. Let it ride here.
That can be advantageous. We know that. I mean, what do they have to lose, right? Like, nothing. And so, just take that into the tournament. Let's see what happens. All right, we'll come back. Felix Johnson, Chiefs insider, will be in to talk Chiefs and really anything else that's on our brain with the NFL. Don't go away.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back. Felix Johnson is in, our Chiefs insider. This time of year, just sort of our football insider, I think, as much as anything else. Felix with Arrowhead Addict, Talk Ball podcast now, I'm seeing. You've been sending me some of those clips. You got something going and cooking there, Felix. It's a time of the year where we can all do some things, right? This is, if there is a calm in the NFL schedule, which isn't much, this is it, right? This time between draft to OTA, like we're kind of in that zone of evaluation and really digging in deep, which I know you're doing a lot of that in the various places that you're contributing. But this is the slow time for the NFL. Let's be real.
Well, and even then, the Packers are trying to ban the tush push, which could be major for, excuse me, the Super Bowl champions that basically rode themselves for the last 2 or 3 years all the way to a championship. And I guess you could say their success over the last couple of years has been based around that play. And I mean, the NFL is just going to stay in our mouths because Roger Goodell's making $60 million a year. And that's how he does it, by staying relevant. So.
Let's talk about that tush push a little bit here, Felix. I mean, it definitely seems like there's momentum on this. And I know the Packers have revised what the language says in there that basically will prohibit anybody from pushing or pulling a running back to do anything other than just individually blocking for that player. It definitely seems like this does have legs. Do you feel like by the time we get to week one of the regular season, will we not have the tush push be allowed anymore?
I think particularly with being that it's the Packers, an NFC team that has lost to the Eagles a couple times, like even most recently as this past postseason, it does kind of feel like sore losers coming after the Eagles for all the reasons that I just said. But at the same time, it does for the Frankie Louvu goal line stand in the NFC Championship game. That's the reason why the play is kind of weird, because the defense doesn't really have any recourse other than standing at the goal line and going off sides like Frankie Louvu did. Now, if there weren't teams like the Bills in the AFC Championship game who continually did it wrong, particularly just because Josh Allen kept false stepping by taking a half a step backwards instead of just moving forward like Jalen Hurts does, because no matter how strong you are, the momentum has to move forward. Josh Allen was moving his backwards. That's the difference in the play. The Patriots with Mac Jones couldn't figure it out when he was still their starter. So there are teams that can't figure it out. So that's why I think it's fair, I guess, being that there are some offenses that can't figure it out, but defenses don't really have a chance to figure it out at all. So that's why it's an undefeatable play. And so you start your drives at first and eight. And so that is a huge thing in a game of inches. 2 yards can become massive, like we've seen multiple times in the AFC Championship game for the Kansas City Chiefs.
They don't have to make any excuses. Roger Goodell doesn't have to make any. They don't have to say injury. The play sucks. Nobody likes the play. It's boring to watch. It changes the way it changes an exciting component of the game, yeah, which are short yardage situations. Just get rid of it. Like, the NFL is a league that doesn't, they change the rules all the time to make, yeah, the product on the field. It's like baseball is where we have to make excuses. Why do we ban the shift? Because the shift sucks and it makes, yeah, the game worse. So just get rid of it. The tush push sucks. Like, it's not fun to watch. Get rid of it. Who cares?
I think it's kind of one of those things, kind of like a field goal kick. Like, what? That's the go get another beer, go get some chips time. Like, oh, my team just scored. Doesn't matter. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, yeah, oh, the Eagles, it's third and inches. I'm going to go be right back real quick. They'll get the first down and whatever the case may be. So I think you're right in that it does kind of slow down the game pace when we're sitting here 4.5 hours at a time every Sunday. So it is one of those things where it's just like, why are we doing this? And then it was like the offense came up with this unstoppable play, and then Frankie Louvu came up, and I guess the Commanders and Dan Quinn, whatever the concoction came up with there, they came up with something like, now what? Like, what are you going to do? And then I think a lot of the language was, at least the referees from that particular instance was, we're just going to have to give the Eagles the score, or essentially something like that. And like my competition athlete brain, and I think a lot of people work the way I do, is like, that's not how this works. We don't give people scores in football in the NFL. And so like, obviously it was a different concept and in different context, but at the same time, it was like, it's such a weird situation that the Eagles have started and they're the only ones that have mastered it. And that's why it's become such a polarizing issue.
Well, changing gears a little bit, Felix, we just got word a little while ago that the Bears and Joe Tooney have agreed to a 2-year extension, $17.5 million a year. That's $51 million for the next 3 years, 33 and a half of it fully guaranteed at signing. At first glance for me, my takeaway is that the Bears have done a masterful job in rebuilding that offensive line for Caleb Williams going into this season, and having an anchor and a veteran like Joe Tooney, that's so important for what they're trying to do. And they're able to get a deal done that keeps him in Chicago long term.
Yeah, Cody and I were talking about this on the very first episode of Let's Talk Ball, as one of our winners from the offseason was the Chicago Bears. They get Ben Johnson, they bring in Dennis Allen as their defensive coordinator. And then I think the biggest part of it, as a former offensive lineman, I want to see offensive lines get built up, and that's how you protect your quarterback, obviously. Caleb Williams' biggest comp coming into the league was Patrick Mahomes. What have the Chiefs done over the last 5 years in lieu of not having great tackles? Get your interior offensive line very, very solid. They drafted Creed Humphrey. They got lucky with Trey Smith. They signed Joe Tooney. Well, the Bears are taking literally the exact same page out of the Chiefs playbook. Go get Joe Tooney. They bring in a Chiefs executive who was there for some of that building process. So the Bears rebuilt their interior offensive line for who they expect to be their quarterback of the future, their franchise cornerstone. And the exact same way that his comp did it just a couple years ago. And so if Ben Johnson can fit into that Andy Reid offensive genius type, if Dennis Allen can fit into that Steve Spagnuolo fired head coach that works better as a defensive coordinator type, then the Bears could be cooking with some peanut oil, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, we see the stuff about Caleb Williams maybe trying to not end up there. And I get why. I think we all do. Mm-hmm. But now the situation went from, man, I really don't want to be there, to kind of perfect. No mm-hmm. more excuses. You got the coach. They gave you the line. They're doing everything now the right way. And I know that you're a Caleb Williams guy, as am I. And I think it's going to lead to some success for him. I do.
Well, I think the hardest, my most, and it kind of goes with the Shadur conversation, is like, he only wants things to be catered to him. And it's like, in the NFL as a quarterback, yeah, that's kind of how things go. And particularly if you're the number one overall pick, yes, like, you're going to have things catered to you, and that's how things should go. And we've seen it, especially in today's NFL, that's how teams win in the NFL. You have to kind of cater around your quarterback. And obviously, if you need to fix your defense here and do whatever you need to wherever else, do that. But if Andy Reid isn't there for Patrick Mahomes specifically, and they don't build that interior offensive line, they don't have Travis Kelce, obviously he's there beforehand, but they don't manage the Kansas City Chiefs around what Patrick Mahomes needs and probably wants, they're not going to be as successful. And I think that's the blueprint for the league, and the Bears were just going to have to fall into that model, and they did it a year late.
Yeah, he's a story to watch. There's all kinds of stories to watch this year, mm-hmm. Tommy. I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, yeah, and Felix, you wrote an article that just came down on Arrowhead Addict that you sent to us about kind of putting what the Chiefs are in their dynasty in the perspective of professional wrestling. And I know Jacob appreciates that for sure. But the heel turn that we've seen this dynasty now, kind of maybe going back the other direction a little bit. Where do you see that headed, and why do you think that that's shifting?
You know, I think it's kind of branching towards the other way. Obviously, the Chiefs have been the big bad in the NFL for the last however many years, going to 3 straight Super Bowls and taking the Patriots' place. And the Eagles, kind of, whether it be, and the way I described it in the article, is kind of this barstool culture, if you will, this kind of bro-ish culture that Nick Sirianni, who just got a contract extension, they kind of fit into that kind of category. And they knocked off the Patriots too, so they're kind of like the back-to-back underdog champions of the world, if you will. And so I think that the Chiefs are kind of heading into that underdog territory. And then it's like you guys were talking about earlier, it's May, where I'm just kind of pulling, as a football writer, I'm looking for stuff. there was a TikTok trend over the last couple of weeks where some people were comparing Patrick Mahomes' voice, everybody knows what it sounds like, to that of the voice on the party track from if you've been to a wedding, The Wobble. It sounds exactly sure. like if you line them up, you see a picture of Patrick Mahomes, you listen to the song, it just lines up perfectly. And I think people were kind of making fun of Patrick Mahomes, but not necessarily in the vitriolic way that it had been over the last couple of years. And obviously Mahomes has talked in interviews like, my voice is what it is, we all know what it is. And so it was kind of like we're all making fun of the guy as opposed to the quarterback for the greatness and all that good stuff. So I think that it's kind of turning back, like, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes is still just a guy with a goofy voice who happens to be a great quarterback. Let's see if they can win another Super Bowl again. But again, they're the Chiefs. They've won two out of the last three Super Bowls. It's probably not going down that way.
By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that Jacob is actually a pro at the Wobble? He loves doing that dance.
I'll take my semi-pro abilities over his.
You know, yeah, it's not so much that I'm a pro at wobbling at the end of a wedding party.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Get a little wobbly. I'll contend till the day I die. There are no better parties than a wedding reception. Best parties. You don't even have to know anybody. What was that movie, Wedding Crashers? Like, you don't even have to know anybody. If you're at a wedding reception, you are a wedding reception with proper lubrication, you are guaranteed to have a good time. I think that they're the best. I don't know that the Chiefs are going to be the good guy. It's you want a wrestling reference. It's kind of like the mid years of John Cena, like when the NFL's trying to make them like they're just people have Chiefs fatigue. They're going to have it again this year. They're going to be in primetime. People are going to see that they're in primetime. They're going to think they get all the calls. They're going to complain about the 9 seconds of Taylor Swift they might see in a broadcast, like whatever it is. Like they may want them to be. And I've always thought this was interesting. Tom Brady was not likable, right? Like he wasn't. Right. Patrick Mahomes is as likable an athlete as we've ever had before. Well, but it comes with the success. Like I don't think it's going to happen.
I think some of that is because they've been boring to watch. Like they've been scoring 20 points a game for the last couple years. And let's say they go back to scoring 35 points a game this year, then it'll be like, oh yeah, they're a lot more fun to watch. And just
I agree with that.
People are going to jump onto that bandwagon. Now, more likely than not, you're right. But at the same time, I'm kind of hoping that they kind of turn the corner of like, oh, they're more fun to watch. So people are just more joyous when the Chiefs are brought up, I guess.
I want to kind of shift gears again a little bit. So Fred Warner signs a deal with the 49ers to become the league's highest paid linebacker. Of course, we know Brock Purdy signed a deal with the Niners as well. We've seen the Niners in recent days start throwing out a lot of money on both sides of the ball. What's your takeaway from both of those deals?
I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have officially realized they're on the clock. With Brock Purdy, they kind of benefited from Trey Lance not working out and obviously Mr. Irrelevant working out. Now that they've chosen to extend this guy and move forward with him as their quarterback, this is it. And obviously they've had a lot of success in the past, and some of that is due to Brock Purdy, but now even more of it is on Brock Purdy's shoulders. You're on the clock now. This is your guy. I compare Brock Purdy a lot to Tua and what he's done, where he's just kind of fine, and he's more of what the pieces around him, and he's just had more than Tua has had around him, even though Tyreek Hill has probably been the best single receiver over the last 3 years. The 49ers have probably had the best roster, like they did in 2019 with Jimmy Garoppolo. And how do we feel about Jimmy Garoppolo? Now I think Brock Purdy's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, but at the same time, we saw last year when Chris McCaffrey went down, when Deebo Samuel was in and out of the lineup, when Brandon Ayuk goes down, when Trent Williams, he's nearly 40 years old, still playing left tackle. Without all of these different guys, I believe the number is Brock Purdy's like 7-13 or something like that, without at least one of those guys. So I can't imagine what it's going to look like when Deebo's gone for sure. Brandon Ayuk's coming off of the injury, CMC, another injury in his career. So like, what are we doing if you're the 49ers? You're on the clock now. You might lose your job in a year and a half, but it's Kyle Shanahan. He'll probably figure something out, and they'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just one more maybe on Purdy before we let you go. I thought the deal was just about perfect. right? Like, it's kind of where he ranks. He didn't need to get over some of the names that are the highest paid. He needed to get paid. He's certainly proven that. So he kind of slots into the top of the middle of the pack of the quarterbacks that have been paid. Right. And that feels about right.
Well, if he doesn't play like he did just this past season, sure. they can't be average. He can't be average if he's going to be paid like a top 10, top 7 or 8 quarterback. He has to play like he did 2 years ago.
Right. I agree with that. And whether he will or not, I'm not sure what I think about that yet. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting player. Like, Dak got paid. Dak got paid too much, but we know Dak's good. You know, that's not the question for Dak. It's, is he good enough? But we know he's good. I don't know if we know Brock Purdy's good. Felix, what are you working on this week here, and where can we find it?
I've got that Arrowhead Addict article that you guys just mentioned.
You got some Dak smoke? What's going on?
I was talking about Brock Purdy. He's not that good. Dak, I like Dak. Dak's good.
I know you like
him. I got some Arrowhead Addict stuff coming out, and I'll be working on from there mostly from now on. So, yeah.
And you can check out the Pro Wrestling Chiefs, Are They in a Face Turn article right now. Just go follow Felix at Felix R. Johnson, and you'll find it right there. Nice and easy to find. Felix, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
There goes Felix Johnson. That's an interesting idea. Boy, I don't know that I don't know what it would take. It's going to take a reset for the Chiefs to ever get back into favor. They'll be a favorite again in 5 years. Like, when, you know, as time goes on, and, you know, I would assume Mahomes is sort of the last man standing of this current era, which he almost certainly will be. And Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and probably Andy Reid are done, and Mahomes is still going. I think at that point, probably they'll become lovable again, like they were 5 years ago now. But it's going to take some time. I just think people are there for whatever, and it's because they're successful. I get it. But the Eagles are a far more unlikable team as a neutral observer.
Yeah,
but that's not the way most people. That's not the way most people feel, though.
I think the other thing too is that you've got there was a period of time where the Chiefs, especially even Mahomes and Kelce, were kind of openly embracing the hate. Like, they were feeding off of it, and it was that chip on their shoulder kind of thing. I didn't really see a whole lot of that last year, and I haven't seen any of that, you know, throughout the course of this offseason. If nothing else, I think kind of knowing that this might be the swan song for Travis Kelce, I think kind of puts him back in more of a, you know, a little bit of a positive light and retrospective and appreciative and, you know, all of that. And so I do think that plays into it.
Potentially big news yesterday, Tommy, that I think kind of went under the radar, to be quite honest with you, in the NCAA with the House versus NCAA settlement coming in. Did you see this from Pete Thamel on ESPN about a CEO of college sports? So this is what I mean. I didn't see this until honestly just a little bit ago, kind of skimming through, making sure we didn't miss anything. So let me just kind of read for you here what is happening. So this is according to Thamel, ESPN, great reporter. So he says that with it expected this week, a part of the resolution will include a new enforcement organization and a CEO to oversee college athletics. So the NCAA would relinquish the authority to punish universities, programs, players, all those things. That would go to an entity called the College Sports Commission, which a lot of people have pined for a long time, right? Let go of that NCAA. And then Thamel also reports that the CEO of that commission could be announced as soon as the House settlement goes final, which I guess could come quick. That person would be sort of appointed by the Power Four commissioners. So I think what you're seeing is kind of an NFL model, right? You're handing that power to an appointed individual like Roger Goodell to oversee this. That seems daunting. I will be honest. I like the idea of it. I don't know how different it is than the current way of things with the NCAA. Like that, I mean, the NCAA is a university appointed body that like governs the sport. So basically you're changing the name of it and you're going to give it a CEO. But on one side, I like the idea of a singular entity. As much as people like to dog on Roger Goodell, I do think it's good when you have pro sports commissioners where it's like the buck stops here, right? Like we're finding resolution right now. If you've got a problem with the NCAA, who do you even look to? It's sort of like this ethereal, you know, body of something that, like, whatever. So I do like that. I like that. But at the same time, Roger Goodell has to manage and oversee 32 teams, right? What is the CEO really going to singularly govern and punish? What are we looking
well,
at?
Well, and who does Roger Goodell report to? The owners. The owners of each individual 32 teams.
Some capacities, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, they're the ones that are approving whether or not he's going to get a pay right. raise or
but
if they give him a vote of confidence.
Off the
or,
owners plenty.
He does. Like he does. You know what I mean? But there are checks and balances. There
yes.
is accountability in some way, shape, or form. That's been the biggest knock on the NCAA forever. Is there are no checks and balances. They've gotten to run roughshod over college athletics for decades. And I would argue, I've said this for a long time, college sports commission, a CEO, whatever, like that's all well and good. The NCAA, outside of putting on tournaments, is completely irrelevant and completely useless, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that they serve any kind of purpose other than being self-serving. And to try to do everything that they can to stay relevant and to show that they are meaningful in the world of college athletics when college athletics has clearly passed that entity by. And so, I mean, outside of what putting on the NCAA tournament in basketball, putting on, you know, even like the CFP is a completely separate entity from the NCAA. Like, what kind of relevancy does that governing body even have anymore?
Well, yeah, I don't. Sometimes just like an on the surface change that doesn't actually change anything can still be beneficial, right? We see this all the time. I don't think it would just be a surface change, though. I think you could really lay out some. Nick Saban is the name that gets brought up a lot in this, but Thamel is saying it's expected to be somebody totally outside the college athletics universe right now, not a household name. I think when Saban gets brought up, it's as a like a college football specific person. And that's the other thing. Does this CEO oversee all sports? Are they going to have different CEOs for different sports? I don't think we know that totally yet, but I think Thamel's pretty clear. And like the expectation is not for it to be somebody like Nick Saban. Nick Saban would honestly probably be okay at it. I don't know that I believe that Alabama always played by the rules. I don't, but, and that's not a knock on him. I don't think anybody did at that level, right? The actual rules. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Cause it could be a good thing for somebody to understand there needs to be a little nuance in it. Right. And, but right now it's the Wild West. So the one positive maybe in the Wild West right now is that there's pretty universal agreement that nobody likes it. And when that happens, I do think it probably makes it easier to find some guidance in making some rules and things. What I'm curious about, though, is when the settlement comes down, how much authority would this group or this CEO have to set the rules? Like, that we still don't know, like, who makes the rules? Like what rules are we going to live by with the transfer portal, with NIL? Like, what does that look like and who makes those rules? We've been led to believe for a while that it was going to have to be federally legislated because different states have different laws. Could this governing body, if it's appointed by the Power Four, just kind of make the rules? That's what happens in the NFL. We're talking about it with the tush push, right? That goes through the channels and, you know, they're trying to get the league itself to change the rules. Does this governing body or this CEO have that sort of legal authority to do things like that when things aren't collectively bargained? I don't think they do unless something in the total that's where I'm a little confused by all this. It's fine if you want to have a figurehead. I think that's probably a good idea at the end of the day. How much power does this person actually have legally?
I mean this completely honestly, and I'm not trying to knock him. I genuinely am curious. What in the world does Charlie Baker do? Like, you know, he's the head of the NCAA. Like, don't you think that this should be something that if the NCAA could get out of its own damn way, that they could do this? Like, that's why they're here. But they've shown time in and time out that they cannot do that because they care about themselves and that's it.
It's going to be a name change, but that's my fear. That's what I meant like earlier. How much actually changes versus what we already have, which is a governing body and a head of it, which they have. Charlie Baker is the head of the NCAA. But I also think if they can let the NCAA do the things that the NCAA is very good at, organizing events, right, handling how you get a massive tournament to 9 different cities and like navigating the all of that stuff, and then separately have like not even necessarily an enforcement agency, but like the game, like organize the games, and then what's actually happening on the field are maybe 2 different areas. I don't think that's a bad thing. And again, it could mean nothing. It could be one of those things where you just put a sticker on top of something that's already crappy. I don't know. But it's interesting to see it. But yeah, we already have this. Maybe now, though, it's taking some off the plate of the NCAA, giving it somewhere else in order to have it more effective. I think one of the fundamental problems with the NCAA, Tommy, is they just like they can't handle the workload. And that's not a knock on the NCAA. The workload is, I mean, nobody could. It's unmanageable because it's just so open. Like there are no real sets of rules. And even when we had them, nobody was following them. And now legally standing, those rules were illegal.
Well, and every nobody's rule
really following.
Every them. Rule was arbitrary and every rule was, not enforced equally.
They're not allowed to pay the players, but everybody was paying the players. Right.
Or it was like, really minuscule, tiny little things where it was like the letter of the law was being enforced and not the spirit of the law. Where you had like a player that was getting a cheeseburger, right? Like, wasn't that the Jim Harbaugh situation? Like Jim Harbaugh bought him a cheeseburger, whatever that story was. And it was like this huge NCAA violation, but yet you've got like bagmen from Adidas that are delivering bags of cash, and like that sort of thing just completely flew under the radar forever. So like it was the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, that was being enforced. It wasn't equitable. It wasn't appropriate. And you had the NCAA coming down with an iron fist when they were involved in it. Like even remember like a couple of years ago, the NCAA themselves, and it might have been a workload thing. I don't exactly know the reasons why. I don't remember why. But remember there was even like they had to outsource the decision making on punishments to a third party for a while to like arbitrate and hear these different cases and whatever. Like it was the independent counsel that heard all the – it was just like why do we have you? Like you as a governing body, completely worthless.
Yes, one of the biggest problems is the rules were not right. They weren't correct. And yes, it was like a self-sustaining mechanism for them to get into the weeds when everyone's like, "Why do you care so much?" Like again, I went to a Division II school where a coach, a legendary coach, was, and this wasn't even an NCAA thing, but it was like under the guise of it, was fired because he was reimbursed for the ticket that he got for a player to go watch a baseball game while they were at the conference meetings. Like, why are we even having the conversation, whether that's legal
who
or
cares?
Not? Like, who cares? No, literally nobody cares. And what he did wasn't even wrong. It was an okay thing to do, but he panicked. He was like, did I just break a rule? Like, is that not okay for me to like front him the money? Cause he didn't have it at that very moment to come to this base. Like it was so stupid.
I am a firm believer, by the way, that the whole reason that we are in the situation that we're in right now in college athletics and the way that NIL has exploded and you've got all of this, everything going on over here with compensation for players is directly a result, in my opinion, of the NCAA not evolving with the times and not doing what they should have been doing decades ago. Instead, they wanted to dig their heels in the ground. They wanted to ignore what was going on behind the scenes. And they wanted to focus on really like stupid, inconsequential things that literally nobody cares about.
And there was that. Listen, there was self-preservation involved.
Absolutely, there was.
Like, we don't want to pay the players when anybody. Like, I get it. You're uncomfortable with a young person making that money, but you have to look at it in the lens of the way our society in America works. And that ain't it.
And you know that it's broken enough now where the NCAA for years and years and years and years, they not only, I mean, I would say that their value was in putting on tournaments, but also on top of that, they were really, really good lobbyists. Like, they were great at lobbying for themselves. Yeah. They had politicians in their back pocket for decades. And now you know that things are broken because they don't have those politicians in their pocket anymore. And that's why we see everything going on now the way that it is.
They were a lobbying arm. There's no question about that. And again, self-preservation from the universities, they didn't want to pay the players, right? Like, you could say there are individuals, and I love and respect a lot of them, that, you know, believe in so many fundamental things that make college athletics great. But at the core, if we're looking from a broad view, like, yeah, no, like, the powers that be didn't want players pay. They didn't want to share that piece of the pie. And it doesn't make any sense. That's going to do it for a busy Tuesday here on the program. Good to have a busy May 20th show. You don't get the busy, busy shows like this really until we hit the fall. So that was nice. Thanks for Paul Mills stopping by and chatting for just a little bit. Going to do that again once he has a chance to see these players. So we'll get one scheduled again after that to get his evaluation of the guys. Specifically, thanks to Felix Johnson for stopping by, talking a little football with us as well. Tom will be back here tomorrow. Let's see if the Royals can maybe they can score more than three.
Another late night. I would love to maybe have a couple of runs early in the game and feel like, all right, maybe I can go to sleep and they can hang on.
Yeah, it's like a 7-0 fourth inning lead.
Wonderful.
That would be nice. We appreciate you waking up with us this morning and being with us here this morning. We'll see you tomorrow.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.